Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Actually, we're going to read verse 18 of Exodus 31, but if you're in Exodus 32, you'll find it. Exodus 32. And actually, I'm going to start in Exodus 31, verse 18, and read through verse 9 of Exodus 32. Keep your Bibles open, and for those of you that were here last week, I need to review just the main points of last week so that I get everybody's mind working and get everybody on the same page, because we're fixing to move on here, and I need everybody's brain here. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end, communing with him upon the Mount Sinai, two tables of the testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. They rose up early on the morrow, and offered a burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And now, let me review with you just for a moment. And I used three different words last week. There are three different parts to the law. We have the Ten Commandments. Then you have the law for the tabernacle. We call that the Levitical law or the ceremonial law. And then you have what is known as the moral laws. All right? And those I'll give to you here in just a moment here. Most people think, and this is where they're wrong, but scripturally speaking, when Moses went to Mount Sinai, he did not come back with the Ten Commandments. That was given in Exodus chapter 20. That is a civil law. That was for man to rule themselves as a, and I use the word constitution. It was very similar to our constitution. We have a set of laws. That's what the Exodus 20 is all about. And chapters 21, 22, 23, and 24. So those are the 10 are listed. And then God goes into great detail defining them a little bit more through the chapters that follow. Then Moses goes up on the mount to get the blueprints for the tabernacle and all of the vestures and the blueprints for everything that the priesthood was to be established with and all the sacrifices and therewith. Showed you how in Hebrews it talks about the pattern, showed thee in the mount, because of the true tabernacle that was pitched in heaven, not made with hands, but made by God. There's one exactly like it in heaven. While Moses was there during this 40 days up on Mount Sinai, from chapters 25 to chapters 32, it tells you exactly what was given in those two tables of stone. First part, I'm not going to fight you over this, but I believe one of those two-sided stones was about the tabernacle. It gave all the dimensions, gave all the furniture, gave the sizes for everything. I would call it the blueprints, similar to what something like this would have been, but it was written in stone with the finger of God. The other one, two-sided, talked about all of the vestures for the priesthood and the those types of things, the outer garments, the inner garments, the 12 stones, the breastplate with the 12 different stones on it and the names written thereon, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody understand that? you find that from chapters 25 through 32. That's what was given. That's what we commonly know as the law is not the Ten Commandments. That's why in America they post the Ten... Let me rephrase that. That's why in America they used to post the Ten Commandments at courthouses. It is a civil law. The law spoken by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and those in the New Testament, those were the Levitical laws, the ceremonial laws, and the moral laws. They were trying to judge Jesus based on that. Now, I want you to notice something. We went from the tabernacle or the temple to the New Testament. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my
church.
Church and temple are two different words.
Yes.
They're not the same word.
Yes, sir.
The word temple means gathering place. Church means called out assembly.
Yes, sir.
They are two totally separate words. And as I said last week, there are Baptist churches named Baptist Temple. Scripturally, it's not correct. Because the people in the temple were the ones, the high priest of the temple is the one that wanted Jesus killed. Jesus fulfilled everything about the priesthood. He fulfilled everything in the tabernacle. Those were pictures of what Jesus would do. And we read in Colossians chapter 2, talked about the holy days, talked about the sacrifices, talked about all those things. Jesus fulfilled all those at Calvary. That's why he established the church. That's why he said, upon this rock I'll build my
church.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say I'll build my temple. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, that brings us up to where we are in Exodus 31, verse 18. Moses then comes down. I love this. And everybody look at me for a second. I said this last week. God pulled back the veil of heaven, and Moses got to see the actual tabernacle in heaven in full color. Now, the Bible says in verse 18, written with the finger of God. Moses didn't write it. God did.
Right.
Those were drawn with God's own finger in the stone. He allowed Moses to see it so that Moses could make sure it was an exact replica. You'll have to go back and listen to last week's message to get that all. But I want you to notice it was written by the finger of God. God personally drew all of these with his own fingers in the table of stone because he wanted it done exactly right. Moses saw the models or the patterns of the actual ones in heaven. And by the way, when it talks about the law, it's not talking about the Ten Commandments. It's talking about the Levitical law and the moral law, the ceremonial laws and the moral laws. Now, tonight, I want to focus on what happened while Moses was up on top of Mount Sinai. This is what's, it's kind of an interesting story. I'll hurry. I do plan to be done on time tonight. But I've had a lot of plans that didn't work out this week. planned on taking my wife on a date. Didn't know it was going to cost me a couple months' salary. One meal. Lord. Whew. Good night. That's a lot of burrito, amen? A lot of taquitos and enchiladas. I want to focus on what happened not on top of the mountain, but what happened at the bottom of the mountain while Moses was on top. You have to understand, it's only been a few months since they left Egypt. From the time the plagues began until Exodus chapter 32, it's only been a few months. You have to understand, they've gone through 10 plagues. They've seen God kick them out of Egypt. They've been led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, cooled by day and warmed by night. They were backed up to the Red Sea with the Egyptian army chasing them. God brought that pillar of cloud down, left the light on the Jew side, left the dark on the other side, had an east wind come, and through the night, God parted the Red Sea and dried it up as that convection oven dried out that ground. They walked across, probably 6 to 10 miles across the Red Sea. got to the other side as they were going across. The Egyptian army chased after them. When the last Jew got across, God said, Moses, raise your rod. He put it up in the sky, and God closed the Red Sea on top of the Egyptian army to where all their bodies floated to the surface on both sides of the Red Sea. Then 3 days later, everybody's complaining about being hungry and thirsty. God gave them manna. God gave them quail. God provided water out of a rock for anywhere from 2.5 to 5 million people. And I've showed you those numbers before. Minimum 2.5 million people and their herds. That's a lot of water out of a rock. The Bible says that that rock followed them. Now, we'll get into that one these days. That's an interesting story. but may I say this? Then they get to Mount Sinai. God calls down, talks to Moses, gives them the Ten Commandments. Moses goes up to get the laws that they're supposed to live by. And while Moses is up there, they decide Moses isn't coming back, and they go to Aaron and say, make us a god to worship. I'm going to ask you a question. I think this is funny. Who is Aaron? Who is he related to?
Moses' brother.
That's Moses' brother. Aaron is going to be the first high priest. Do you know what one of his first acts was? Idolatry and worshiping false gods. Huh. The average church member would have never voted him as pastor. He made a mistake. Well, Moses killed somebody, but God used him. Nobody's perfect. I'm not condoning idol worship. I'm not condoning murder. I can't tell you I didn't think about it in the last 48 hours. No, I am teasing. I did not think about it. My wife did. I did not. Now, wait a minute. How in the world, after everything the Jews saw God do, and there was no doubt God did it, how in the world could they say, there's no God, we're going to worship a false God? It should not shock us when people backslide. It should not shock us when people in church turn back and go to the world. Because they've been doing it for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. We should know better. We should know better because we have the Bible. We have it all. But people still do it today. It should not surprise us. By the way, the Jews had seen God provide for them every day for months. The very food they ate, God was giving them every day. The very water they drank, God was giving them. The very heat at night that they were getting, God provided. The very coolness of the day in the desert heat, God was providing for them. And yet they turned their back on God. They could still see, according to the Bible, they could still see the top of the mountain smoking and God's presence there with the thick cloud up top. And yet after somewhat less than 40 days, they decide, this Moses isn't coming back. They go to Aaron and say, make us a god to worship. And Aaron has them take their gold, and they build a golden calf and fashion it. By the way, Aaron did it. And they build an altar. They sacrificed to it. They called it the Lord. And we'll find later, they took their clothes off. They were dancing. They had wild music. Sounds like modern churches of today. And we're jumping around like a bunch of banshees to a false god. Matter of fact, we didn't read verse 10, but let me show you what God said. God was pretty mad. He says, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will not, and I will make thee, Moses, a great nation. In other words, God said, I'm just going to kill them all. Moses, I'll leave you, and I'll make you the leader of the Jews. I'm just going to kill them all. And Moses goes to God and says, God, and we won't read these verses, but later we may. Moses goes to God and says, God, you can't do that. After all you did to lead them out of Egypt, what are the Egyptians and the rest of the world going to say about a God that did that and then killed him in the wilderness? God says, all right, I'll keep him alive, but I'm going to punish him. He said, that's okay. Now, God was ready to kill him, but Moses begs God to spare them so that God's reputation is not marred. It wasn't necessarily that Moses loved the people as more than God did. He just didn't want God's reputation marred. Moses has a long walk down the mountain. He has time to plan his anger. I want you to notice when Moses responds later in chapter 32, he didn't fly off the handle. He knew what he was going to do. Can I tell you something? Don't just fly off the handle. Plan your anger. We'll get into this in a little bit here, but can I say this? I planned on throwing a fit today when I had to go talk to the people about $5,280 meal that I didn't purchase on Monday. I had planned what I was going to do. I had planned what my attitude would be. I was very pleasant yesterday. I was kind today, but not quite as pleasant. I was a little bit more insistent, but my wife will tell you I was not rude. Not one time. Now, if somebody would have gotten rude, or it might have turned a little bit, but I had already planned how I was going to respond. I knew exactly how I was going to treat everybody involved. And I knew exactly how tough I was going to get if certain things happened or certain things didn't happen, how I would not respond. I planned every step of what I did. It wasn't just going to be that I was going to fly off the handle. Matter of fact, the fellow that I was talking to at the restaurant, he said, sir, he said, I can tell you're a very kind man. He said, this has happened before. He said, the last guy was trying to fight me. He said, I fear if he had a gun, he'd have shot me. My wife grabbed my arm. Because I had my 380 on. But she grabbed my left arm. That's okay. Draw with the right one. So it didn't matter. I did not tell him that. I thought, this poor fella, if he only knew right now, he wouldn't have said that. He said, I smiled at him. I said, don't you worry. I said, it's not your fault. You've done everything you can do. I didn't even tell him everything I knew at that point in time, because he would have ran. He said, I can tell. He said, you're very kind. I said, I just need the problem fixed. And he was, when he called the credit card company, his last words to them, well, thank you for doing nothing, and hung up on them. You go, fella. I don't have to get mad. You got mad for me. I like that. I don't have to waste my anger. He can get mad. Now, Moses had a plan of what he was going to do. He has the very written word of God in his arms, those two tables of stone. Verse 15 and 16, look at it, chapter 32, verse 15 and 16. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of Moses? The work of God. And the writing was the writing of Moses? Graven upon the tables. I'm going to say something, and I don't think it's wrong. I don't think people are preaching bad doctrine, but Moses wasn't the lawgiver. God was the lawgiver.
Amen.
Moses was the law deliverer.
That's right.
Bible says that God wrote it with his own finger in the tables. Moses didn't even write it. God wrote it himself. So these were written by God, and he has those in his hands. And the people had already broken the Ten Commandments. That was a civil law. And the first law of the civil law was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The first two commandments, they broke. Big time. They weren't even going to keep the law enough to abide with each other. How in the world were they going to keep these two tables of stone about the tabernacle and the moral laws and the Levitical laws that were needed to show the way of salvation for the people and how wonderfully Jesus would fulfill it? Now, I have 3 points in 15 minutes. Listen fast. Here we go. Number one, the people got impatient with God and God's man. The people got impatient with God and God's man. Look at verse number one of chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses, what's the next word?
Delayed.
Delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what became of him. We wot not what has become of him. Moses delayed to come down, but that was only a delay in the eyes of the people. It wasn't a delay in the eyes of God. I want you to notice the people thought they knew more than God. Now, I love you. This may hurt, but hang on. God doesn't have to work by our time schedule. We often make mistakes if we force God into a time schedule. God, if you don't do this by then I'm going to do this. I think that's dangerous. Well, God, I'll do this if this happens by this time, but if it doesn't happen by that time, then I'm going to take it as that's not your will. Well, can I tell you something? If you were a Jew, you'd have been guilty of false God worship. Because it didn't work on your time schedule. Who are you to tell God what the time schedule is? Can I tell you something? There is nobody in the world more upset that we don't have that being built as we speak or done right now. But it's not my time schedule, it's God's. Everybody understand that? You're looking at the most impatient man you have ever seen in your life, I promise you. My wife can attest to that. I have, as my father would say, I have all my patience because I've never used any of them. It is hard for me to be patient. Now, I have to look at it and understand it's God's will. It's not when I wanted it. I was hoping to have our first service last Sunday. Remember when we first started? I said, hopefully we'll have our anniversary Sunday in our new building. We don't have a stick built yet. We don't have a shovel of dirt out of the ground yet. Don't you think I'm a little bit impatient right now? I'm a lot bit impatient right now. But it's not my timing, it's God's. It's God's house, it's God's work, and it'd be His timing. And His timing will be perfect. I went to Bible college. I've taught at Bible colleges. I've watched preacher boys say, Brother Stoltz, you've heard him say this. Well, if God doesn't answer by this time, I'm just not going to do this. Help us. I knew a guy. You probably know him too. He said, I'm going to be married by such and such date, whether God gives me a wife or not. If I don't have one close enough to it, I'm just going to go find one that says I do. He did, and he got divorced within the first year. Lost his ministry over it. Put God on a timetable. In the words of Gomer Pyle, dumb, dumb, dumb. That's not real spiritual, but it sure did say it well, amen?
Yes,
can I tell you something? We need to let God be God and not force God into doing things when we want them done.
Amen.
Who are you to tell God when something has to be done? That'd be like going to your boss and saying, boss, you got to have this done by this time or I quit. You might as well just have said, I quit. Because the boss doesn't have to do anything you say. Whether you think it's the best idea in the world or not. By the way, they doubted Moses' credibility. They doubted the credibility of the man of God. I'm sure there are people that doubt my credibility and may have even left our church in the last however long, year and a half, we've been working on this, because they don't think we're going to get it done. Can I tell you something? We're going to get it done.
Amen.
It's not all on my shoulders.
That's right.
I've been to the governor. I've been to Mr. Caperton and Mr. Marinola. Mando, whatever his name is. I mean, I've talked to the governor's office, and I've talked to the head of the state DEP and his assistant. Have their phone numbers. You ought to sit down at the county table and have said that. You watch heads snap and crackle and pop on that one. Mrs. Barnes was going at the table when I started mentioning names. She put her head down, put her hand over her mouth because she was laughing. I couldn't look at her because I was going to bust out. I mean, they're going, they doubted his credibility. As for this Moses, the man who led us up out of Egypt, they start talking bad about the man of God. Can I tell you something? Don't talk bad about the man of God, whether you agree with him or not.
That's right.
I had a man, I had a pastor call me yesterday. I've probably been the topic of more of his sermons than most people. He called me yesterday for my help. Say, what'd you do, preacher? Did you give it to him? Yeah, I gave him my help. Helped him with what he asked for. Say, oh, you're some super Christian. No, I'm for people getting saved. Doesn't bother me. He's not hurting me. He's hurting himself when he talks bad about somebody. Everybody doing all right? Okay, number two. I got to hurry here. Whew, I went 60 seconds over on that point. Number two, they abandoned God and made an Egyptian God. So the people got impatient. Then they bailed out on God and made an Egyptian God. Look at verse number four. And he received them at their hand, that's the golden earrings, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of... Did you know that the golden calf was the gaff, or was the god Hep, or Heptah, which is a bull calf? That is the god they brought with them out of Egypt. They brought the Egyptian god with them in their minds and in their hearts and made it and fashioned it and called it the God of Israel. Look out. You're about to mess up. By the way, Aaron the high priest led him into this. If you read verses 2 through 4 later, not right now, but if you read it later, you find out that Aaron said, give me your gold, we'll fashion it, we'll make it, and then you can worship it. They made their own God so they could do what they wanted. Look at verse number 6. And they rose up early on the morrow, offered a burnt offering, brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink. What's the next words? And rose up to... Most religion today is play. Let's give. Let's sacrifice. Let's do our little penance. Let's light our candles. Let's bring our money. And then let's rise up and play. Let's go to the bar on Saturday night and go to confession on Sunday morning. Everybody doing all right? Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's play. They had rock music. Look at verse number 18. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 18. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. It was a noise. It wasn't music. Have you ever heard rock music? That is an oxymoron. It's rock noise. I'm going to use a musical term. Some of you would understand. Rock music is one of the poorest qualities of music in the world today. It's so filled full of dissonance, inconsistency, and it's not even really a high quality of music. You don't have to be a good musician to play it. Oh, these are great rock musicians. That doesn't mean squat. That's like saying you're a good garbage man. Doesn't take a, I don't mean that those guys don't work hard, but it doesn't take a whole lot of brains to jump off the back of a truck, grab a can, throw it in the back of the truck, and push the button and mash it, amen? You don't need an engineering degree to do that. I'm for them doing the work, and I don't think it's a menial task. But it doesn't mean that they're the most talented people in the world that are going to go out and build a skyscraper or fly a spaceship. The Bible says that they had sensual dancing. Look at verse 19. And it came to pass as soon as they came nigh into the camp, when he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, he cast the tables of stone out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. This dancing wasn't just jumping up and down for joy. They were actually sensually dancing with the music. Look at verse... This one's going to make some of you mad. Look at verse number 25. And when Moses saw the people were, what's the next word?
Naked.
Naked. For Aaron had made them naked upon their shame among their enemies. It doesn't mean necessarily that they had all their clothing off. But the Bible says if you're exposing your thigh, you're naked.
That's right. Yes, sir.
The farther you get from God, the more your clothes you'll take off. Proven fact. Farther our country gets away from God, the more nudity we face.
That's right.
You can't buy a candy bar without somebody half naked advertising it. Everybody doing all right?
Yes,
sir. I will go to my grave not understanding why it's okay for somebody to paint their underwear bright colors, run around just because they're sand and water, and say it's a bathing suit and it's okay. But you have your little girl, your teenage daughter, you want to send her to school and have her go to school in just her underwear. Oh, we can't do that. Well, why is it okay for her to go to the beach and do that? Why is it okay for you? Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll quit preaching and get back to teaching. I don't get it. And by the way, the farther you get away from God, the more sensual your music will get.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I've been preaching for 37 years plus. Brother Stoltz, it doesn't take long to figure out if somebody's listening to the wrong kind of music.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't take long to figure out how close to God they are. I'm not saying just because you're dressed right makes you close to God, but not rebelling against it means that you're not.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Yeah.
That's a questioning attitude that says, I don't care what God says. I want to do what I want to do, just like the Jews did at the bottom of the mount.
Yes, sir. That's right.
The farther from God you get, the less rules you'll want to follow. Let me say that again. The farther from God you get, the fewer rules you'll want to follow.
Sir, it is true.
Okay, I love you. This one's going to hurt. That means you keep the speed limit when the police officer's there or when he's not there.
Amen. Preach it. Preach it. Preach
it. It ought not bother you that you got stopped for doing 4 miles an hour over the speed limit. Were you over the speed limit? Period. End of discussion. Well, I was counting. They don't have. They can't stop you unless you've gone five over. They can stop you if you're over. Period.
Yes, sir.
The speed limit is the speed limit. That's it.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Amen, preacher. The farther, by the way, the closer to God you get, the more you're going to want to follow the rules.
Yes, sir.
Show me the person that's willing to follow the rules on their own, and they don't have to be forced into following the rules. I'll show you somebody that's in submission to God. Show me somebody, why these rules? I don't understand. Rules, all these stinking rules. I don't know. I'll show you how close to God or how far away from God they are.
That's right.
Ouch. Number three. God's punishment on the Jews because of their disobedience. And I'll hurry. Look at verse number 20. First of all, Moses took the calf which was made and burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, strode it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink it. You talk about an expensive glass of water. They must have ate at that restaurant my wife and I went to. Moses took that calf, burned it, melted it down, ground it to powder, and threw it into that water that they were drinking, and made them all drink it. There is a significance to that. I won't tell you what it is, but they were drinking their false god. Moses was telling them what he thought of their false god. It's going to become refuse, sewage. Moses melted it down, ground it in powder, and sprinkled it on the water and made them drink it. Then, look at verse number 26. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man on his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to the gate throughout the camp, and slay every man and his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. God told Moses to tell whoever came on his side, put on a sword and just start going after people. And the Levites killed 3,000 people that day. That's pretty serious judgment. Not only that, look at verse, this isn't going to be real nice, but look at verse number 35. And the Lord plagued the people because they made a calf, which Aaron made. God sent a plague upon them. Matter of fact, if you look at chapter 33, verse number 5, "For the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thine ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." The children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. The Bible talks about the fact that he came up in the midst of them. But he also said, "I'm only going to talk to Moses and not the rest of the people." They forfeited their closeness with God. Now, I'm not going to go into all this. I could spend a lot more time. I'm already a minute or two over, but I want to show you something that I think is the sweetest part of this whole thing. Moses was angry. But Moses wasn't angry just because the people disobeyed. Moses was angry because what their disobedience drove between them and God. He was angry because of what the children of Israel were forfeiting by their disobedience. He was angry because he wanted them close to God and they blew it. He wanted the best for them, and they created something that was not best for them. That's why a parent can get so upset when their young people are about to do something really that's going to mess their life up. Young people, you want to know why us adults get so upset? I'll tell you why. Because we've seen what the end of that is, and we know how stupid it is. Don't do it.
That's right.
Don't mess yourself up. If you mess yourself up, we'll love you, we'll help you, but there's consequences to pay. Look at chapter 32, verse number 30. I'll read three more verses and be done. "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written." Whew. Did you know that little dash there? That is the only place in Scripture where there's a dash. The only place. An incomplete statement. Moses broke down. Moses said, "God, will you please forgive your people? And if not, I'm going down with them. Take me out of the book as well." Whew. Moses loved the Jews enough to stand before him. Notice he begged God for them earlier in the chapter. God, don't do that. Now, I hate to tell you something. In a couple chapters, Moses is asking God to kill them all. And God says, no, I can't do that. And then the chapter after that, God says, I'm going to kill them all. Moses says, you can't do that. If God and Moses ever agreed on the same day, there are no Jews. But this is the only incomplete spot in Scripture as far as someone speaking. You notice a total stoppage. Not because there's no more words, Moses just could not speak anymore. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, his people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt, forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. God, take me out of the Bible if you're not going to forgive them. That's what he said. He didn't say, take me out of the Lamb's book of life. He said, take me out of the book which thou hast written. That's the Bible. Moses was willing to be removed out of the Word of God so that God would forgive his people. Can I tell you something? Not everybody in this church is perfect. Matter of fact, nobody in this church is perfect. Better be glad I preach as hard as I do, because when you need it, I'm going to be there, because I'm just as much a sinner as you are. We're going to pick you up. Not going to let somebody talk bad about you. Say why? Because this preacher believes in restoring people. That's what it's all about. We're a hospital for hurting people, not a museum put somebody on display with. That is exactly what we are. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're done. Who'd say preacher? And I don't always do this on Wednesday, but who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand? You may put your hands down. Is there one that would say, preacher, I don't know that. I won't come to you. Won't embarrass you. Say, sometime I'd like to know about it, though. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in the scriptures tonight, I needed that. I need to learn that. There's something there to help me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens of hands. Let's pray. Father, please bless these, your people. In Jesus' name.